Grace and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And these are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, John is not wrong when he tells Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you." Earlier, John admitted he was not worthy even to tie the sandal straps of Jesus. John knew the difference between himself and Jesus. He knew that he needed Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' holiness. John's own was not enough to cover what he knew he had done wrong. And yet Jesus comes to John for baptism, joining that line of sinners who went to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Does Jesus belong there with the sinners? That may sound like a blasphemous question. How can Jesus be considered associated with sin in such a profound way? Isn't he God? Isn't God perfect, holy, righteous? Well, yes, and yes, he's all that. But here in the baptism of Jesus, we see how the triune God will achieve the salvation of the world, the salvation of sinners, of you and me. In Martin Luther's great catechism hymn on baptism, the first stanza summarizes what's going on here at the Jordan River as Jesus is baptized by John. "To Jordan came our Lord the Christ, the Father's will obeying, and there was by Saint John baptized, all righteousness fulfilling. There he did consecrate a bath to wash away transgression, to rescue us from bitter death by his own blood and passion, new life for us creating." There's much more going on here at Jesus' baptism than meets the eye. And the same is true of every baptism. Jesus was there, and John applies water to Jesus, normal water. But Jesus, our substitute, takes with him our sin, our evil thoughts, our hateful words, our harmful actions, and the very sin we've inherited from being born of human parents. A bath is consecrated, designated as a holy thing of God. Transgression is washed away, not because of any inherent power in the water molecules of the Jordan River, but because God is there and making a blessing. There was rescue from death by the very suffering and death, the blood and passion of Jesus. There, baptism is seen to be the way to new life. But it doesn't look like much at all. For many people, this seeming simplicity of baptism is the stumbling block. And we can understand why. After all, how can a bit of water and a few words, which we know Jesus would later directly attach to this baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, how can this be anything that special? A right understanding of baptism is one of the benchmarks, we might say, for a right understanding of salvation, of the work of Jesus, of our role in our salvation. And there's much wrong understanding of baptism. Baptism, rightly understood, is about what God does for you. It is God's action, not yours. It is a confession of how we who are dead in sin are given new life through faith in Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection poured on you in that simple act of washing with water and the Word. Baptism, wrongly understood, is about what you desire to show to God and to the world. It is your action, not God's. That determines the value of that understanding of baptism. Such a wrong understanding changes the gift of God's baptism into a payment you make to God. Whenever God's free grace is tampered with, it ends up being law, not gospel. And that happens so easily with baptism. But here in Matthew 3, we see Jesus going into the water, and then that fascinating description that Matthew provides for us. When he'd been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Who is there at this baptism? It is the triune God, the God who desires sinners to be saved. The Spirit of God alights upon Jesus, descending like a dove, we're told, the great symbol of peace between God and man. And the words of the Father, words which leave no room for doubt about who this Jesus is, the beloved Son of God the Father. And right here, we have perhaps, well, I won't get rid of the word perhaps, right here we have the most scandalous of the biblical confessions of Jesus. He's the Son of God. You can perhaps begin to understand why this text of the baptism of Jesus played such a large role in the early centuries of the history of the Christian church. If you don't get this right, then finally there is no Christian church. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church, and God will not allow us to sidestep that truth, nor to water it down, nor to deny it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And these very words would be reiterated a few years later at the transfiguration of Jesus as he was on his way to his death at Jerusalem. As I mentioned, there's so much going on in this short section of Matthew chapter 3. But I want to close with this as our main takeaway. In the closing stanza of Luther's wonderful baptism hymn, he summarizes the gospel center of Jesus' baptism and of yours. And though our mortal eye is dim and sees but simple water, faith sees Christ Jesus and in him the Lamb ordained for slaughter. We see the cleansing fountain red with the dear blood of Jesus, which from all sins inherited and our misdeeds can free us, eternal life bestowing. There you have the gift of baptism, the baptism into which Jesus went for you, and the wonderful promise and forgiveness poured on you through water in the name of the triune God. Do not let anyone lead you to despise your baptism. You are God's own child, as we will soon be singing. And please note how we, the baptized, may speak with boldness against sin, death, and devil. You are a child of paradise. Through faith in Christ your Savior, amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, amen. You may rise for prayer. Father in heaven, at our Lord's baptism in the Jordan River, you once proclaimed Jesus, your beloved Son, and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Grant that all who are baptized in his name may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and with him be heirs of life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. And Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit and has forgiven you all of your sins. May he strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.